This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Brock Wisney, former UNC men's basketball player, and you're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Some call him genius, legend, ladies' man, the best to ever observe the game. We want to keep him humble, so we call him Sean. This is Keeling Me Softly with Denver Post columnist Sean Keeler.
Sean Keeler joining us now. It is time for our weekly version of Keeling Me Softly. First off, Sean, were you able to join the Broncos in watching the new Spider-Man movie? Were you invited to this, or is that just for the players?
I it was just for the players. I did not get invited. I was so hurt. I actually still haven't seen it. So it is on my list, but I was not invited. No, but I'm glad that they were more than willing to talk about it, and I guess I'm glad that they went. Time will tell.
Well, and this is going to upset Michael back there, but Sean Payton, not a fan of Spider-Man, apparently. Yeah, not a big fan.
I did. I was the one who did ask him. I'm sure I got no love on that from the Denver radio yokels. But I did ask him about that. He played ball. You never know with Sean, you know, how he's going to react to something a little more left field. It could, you know, I thought he was pretty good for taking a left field thing. And Sean being Sean, he can't help but note his personal opinion on the topic, which we always appreciate too.
So, Sean, is this something kind of new for Sean? Because I've been seeing a lot of people make stuff of this, like, oh, is he softening up in his older age, letting the guys go break for something like this? What does that mean to you? Anything that they went to a movie, or is that just, this is kind of a neat story?
It's kind of a neat story. Guys have been going to, I mean, Google Paul Brown and Bambi, the old coach. I mean, NFL coaches have been dragging their players to movies. Sean knows his history better than anybody, for like decades. So this is not, it's unique because it's the idea that, one, that Sean would be a little more lighthearted about a really tough time of year, although he's a lot more enlightened than some of his rep would let you believe. And two, that Nick Benito told Kay Adams that. Basically, if anything that comes out, but if you Google Broncos Kay Adams, that's like 18 talk show topics for the rest of the week, because she gets their guards down in ways that we are not allowed to, or generally cannot. So it was one of those. Nick Benito was one who said, boy, I don't think Sean would have done that 3 years ago. I think he said that Monday. Said that Monday. So that's what made it a thing. And you know, now we're in a world of, you know, for a decade now, we've been in a world of three-paragraph stories where if something is a thing, you write about a clip that turns into a thing, and then Google decides it's a thing, and you're talking about it, and we're talking about it, and let's move on to another thing.
Sean Keeler joining us, Denver Post. Michael and I, both big fans of this. Not big fans of the, you know, like J.K. Dobbins, Aaron Gordon comparison, although I get you, and I actually agree with you.
Oh, no, thumbs down. Okay.
I do agree with you.
I've got a few thumbs down on that. You're not alone.
No,
I'll defend it on the record. I'll defend it on the quality.
I defend it too, because I can't count how many times I've said on this show, if Aaron Gordon's healthy, the Nuggets do this. Yep. If J.K. Yep. Dobbins is healthy, the Broncos do this. So I do agree with you.
They're not just a Super Bowl. There may be a parade.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and I agree. 100%. I think what I more of like, I don't like it because it sucks, but it's a real comparison.
But
saying Jonah Coleman, because Michael back there, he's a big Washington guy, and you and I have talked a lot about Jonah Coleman a lot, and I think that's the tough part. I don't want to root for Jonah Coleman, but I actually think
Michael's
I think he's good. I think you're 100% right. You said looks like the steal of the 2026 draft, and I think you're 100%.
He does, and that's a good thing, and we joke about it. But he was running over our Rammies at this time last year. I mean, we knew this was a good dude. And Coleman is a classic case of the NFL. Well, time will tell, but I think certainly for the first 2 weeks of camp, he's been the best runner here, and they've given him appropriately and wisely the most amount of looks and more looks than the first team than people thought, which is why people get really, really excited here. Two, it's another case of the NFL. Why did they get him in the fourth round? Well, the NFL gets hung up on certain traits of certain guys. Quarterbacks are tight, right? Running backs, if it's not height, it's speed. He's not fast. Let's just get the big negative out of the way. What, you know, it's the old, you know, I love the movie Major League from 1989. Go back to that. I have those things I can't recite for FCC reasons. But, you know, they ask, how do they get Pedro Serrano? How do we get that guy? I think we're going to be seeing in a month, hopefully, maybe, well, certainly after the preseason with Jonah Coleman, if things trend the way they're trending, we're going to say, how did they get that guy? His version of not being able to hit the curveball, which was the Serrano thing as to why that Cleveland team ended up with him, his Pedro Serrano weakness was he's never run better than a 4.55 official timing that I've seen. And I think that's what he had with the pro day. He's not a home run hitter. But, you know, he's probably the fourth fastest back of those big four they've got. But you know he does. And why did he give it to him? There are a couple things. He's a doubles. He's a consistent doubles guy. He can block. And he does not fumble. And you're Sean in this offense. What does Sean hate more than anything? Negative plays, long. And Sean is way more kind of a metrics guy than you'd let on. He hates third and forevers. He hates second and forevers. Jonah Coleman, in theory, in much of the way the Bo has been, is a guy from the metrics purposes that if he's healthy, is someone who's going to keep you out of negative plays. And never mind that he can do also that he can do everything that J.K. Dobbins can do, which was kind of the point, because R.J. Harvey can't. And that's not knocking R.J., that's just being realistic about where he is. He's not the same guy. That makes you work well with Dobbins. But then, as we saw, when you suddenly don't have Dobbins, then you suddenly have a lot of what I call scat backs. And R.J. is a really good scat back. Coleman's not a scat back. He's a workhorse, and you need to know the workhorse.
Yeah, I remember watching watching a few of those games, and you mentioned it. He had almost 200 yards against the Rams and a couple touchdowns. They line him up in a lot of different positions at Washington, too, like as far as running back. You know, he could line up in an I formation as the fullback, get a handoff and do something with it and get outside. As you said, he's just kind of one of those all-around running backs. He's not necessarily overwhelmingly great in one aspect, but he's pretty good in almost every aspect.
Yeah, and that's, again, the like-for-like, more of a like-for-like with Dobbins. And a compliment to Dobbins is why he's a 1A guy, is he can also do everything. And you had to suddenly put him in the slot, you know, keep him as a third, you know, can you play him three downs? I mean, everything is situational now and is even more so given the kind of metrics world we're in now. R.J. Harvey is not a three-down back. He's probably a one or two or a passing down back. That's, again, let's be real about that. And Jaleel McLaughlin, same thing. Tyler Bidet, yeah, probably even less so, but yeah, probably. I mean, they're situational things. The two guys who you would play on three downs and feel good about getting the ball between the tackles to on first and second down, and basically first down. Because if everything is open to you, this is so cliche, but it's true. You know, it's why tight ends are important, but coaches don't want personnel to give away tendencies. When you have RJ or Tyler, or maybe just some, maybe less so McLaughlin in the game, that is, what are you thinking through the defense? They're going to throw the ball. Or this is a short pass, or this is something. The point of Jonah Coleman is one of the strengths also of J.K. is that when they're in the game, anything is possible. And that's a helpless feeling for a defense. That's what you don't want, is I have to be ready for anything. You want a tendency that lines that up. What's good about Coleman so far and how they will plan to use him, I think, is that he keeps that mystery. He keeps that strategic edge for you where you're not going to know or presume what that play is going to be, given that it's Sean and Davis calling it. And that's what you want out of any tailback, but I think that's what those two guys give you and why they're going to be really the thing to watch. And other people pointed out, they pointed this out yesterday to me when I was here, like, well, you know, because J.K. went off the field Monday, coincidentally as well, with joining the soft tissue club. He was back at it yesterday. And they're like, you know, I guarantee you, someone said to me, one of the reasons he's back out there today is he feels Jonah coming. Mm. And I think there's some, despite that contract, despite everything, and J.K.'s not a dump. J.K.'s a smart guy. I think he reads a lot of social media, too. God bless him. I like him. He's a good guy. And a heck of a player. It's just the health thing. But I think he knows that, too. And he knows kind of the way that Cortland knows with Pat Bryant. They drafted your replacement. Like, they drafted a guy that if you go down and it doesn't get better or you can't come back, you may not have something to come back to. And, you know, it's not healthy for the player, but I think that's healthy for the franchise, and that's where they are.
You see Jonah Coleman maybe taking over that role? I mean, because we all kind of – you hate the injury thing, but, yeah, history would tell us J.K. Dobbins is going to miss some time. And if he does, Does Jonah Coleman jump in, even as soon as his rookie year, and maybe not completely take over, but just warrant a hell of a lot more carries throughout the rest of the season?
If you give me a qualifier, if depending on how hurt Dobbins is and what time of year it is, yeah, absolutely. Like, he is. That's the point of it. He is so that you can just use, again, Harvey and McLaughlin and maybe Bidet, you know, in situational thing, as situational backs, or in weird down and distance, or in long down and distance, or just kind of mix it up, or use multiple combinations of them. But the short answer is yes. That's exactly why he's here. Like, if everything is to plan, I would be shocked if the answer is to turn it back to R.J. Harvey to be the number two and to run R.J. Harvey between the tackles, because we saw that there was some folly there. Now, could it be better? Yeah. Has it been a little better at camp so far? Yeah. Is there a lot to prove? Yeah. I think that's a TBD. And if R.J. and again, back to the tendencies thing, if they see R.J. and they think pass, well, then your inclination is going to be let's run a draw here, let's run it with him and see what happens. They can try that, but I would think ultimately if things are trending the way they're trending, and they may not, it's got 12 days of preseason camp. We get so wound up because it's the first thing back and first impressions end up meaning a lot, maybe more than they should. I want to see games. I get more wound up about what I see in certain games than I do with what I see in practices that aren't team on another team, which they're not going to have this year, because those are great tells. If the Packers or somebody were coming here to play them in a practice, or the Cowboys, whatever, those are where you get better indicators than just hat on hat, one on one, ones on twos in practice. But we got to get something. And we're going to see a lot more, I think, when we see them in game action on Friday and have a better picture of how they want this to look.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That name certainly circled Jonah Coleman to watch out for on Friday. Sean, my man, I know you got to run. I know you got work to do. Man, you got Bronco stuff to get to.
I do. You got to go watch Bo's ankle for you.
You so got to go. Ankle looking good, though, right? Everything's fine.
And I was surprised you didn't ask me whether I'd play him or how much I'd play him. I was bracing for that. I would, but with all these preseason games, I think the only way you're going to know, I mean, playing on turf, it stinks. It's not ideal. You got to rip that Band-Aid off. The only way that people aren't going to have doubts about, and maybe even the player can have doubts about what you have coming back, is to go test it. So I'd be tempted to run him out there that first drive, give him a drive, see what it looks like, you know, run a boot, and, you know, don't put him in dangerous situations, and then go to the next week, and then get to the home games, and just keep ramping it up bit by bit by bit. But we will see.
Yep.
So it'll be fun.
Makes for interesting storylines on Friday, no question. Sean, appreciate you, my man. We'll catch up with you next Wednesday.
All right, brother. Sounds good. See you.
Sean Keeler, Denver Post. Yeah, I mean, he goes barely 2 weeks into training camp, and J.K. Dobbins looks like the Aaron Gordon of Broncos country. Fortunately for Sean Payton, Jonah Coleman looks like the steal of the 2026. NFL draft. Every day, he and Pat Bryant are getting more and more talk. More and more. Those are the two guys. This is why preseason matters. This is why these training camps matter, because guys we weren't talking about, we get to learn about, and we're going to be ready. Educated sports fans are going to be ready to and know who those guys are going to be come season. And this also helps your fantasy lineup stuff, too.
Yeah, and on top of that, if you have two great wide receivers or two solid wide receivers who can get first downs and a speedster. I mean, if you want another draft pick for next year.
They might have a complete running back in Jonah Coleman. They might have a home run hitter in J.K. Dobbins. They have a home run hitter in Jalen Waddle. They have a more of a consistent receiver in Cortland Sutton. They got a pass-catching running back in R.J. Harvey. And if they can get Evan Engram going, they could cover all the skill positions and have almost the perfect picture in every skill position coming up this year for the Broncos.
Oh, by the way, they have a phenomenal defense. We're talking offense. Like, we're used to talking Broncos
That's
defense.
That's the thing. We're talking about offensive because we already know what the defense is. I mean, the biggest thing for them is who's replacing John Franklin Myers and what's going on with Jonathan Cooper. But the rest is like, okay, we got Nick Benito, you got Patrick Surtain, you got Hufanga, you got Allen, you got a lot of studs on that defensive side of the ball. Offensively, last year, this time last year, Mike, it was who are the guys? Who stands out? And last year was like, okay, can Evan Engram be big? You know, can J.K. Dobbins stay healthy? Evan Engram was not big, and J.K. Dobbins did not stay healthy. Now you have, all right, we already know Waddle's going to be good.
How good is this going to make Sutton? How good is this going to make that third guy? And it sounds like it's going to be Pat Bryant. How good is Davis Webb's play calling going to open up Bo Nix's game, where with a healthy combination of a real run game, there's a lot of excitement surrounding the offensive side of the ball for the Broncos. Speaking of offensive side of the ball, I don't always agree with a quarterback competition this late in training camp and all that, whether it's college, whether it's football, and sometimes it annoys the crap out of me. There is one team a few miles behind me that I 100% agree with a quarterback controversy, quarterback competition, and it's heating up in Fort Collins. Let's talk about that and how Jim Mora is handling Haas Haney and Kason Farrar in this battle between two quarterbacks that are both, I think both are going to be really entertaining, whichever way he decides to go. First, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.